Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. I remember when I was a young teen, I started to go to this Bible study, and this guy and his wife just became mentors because the whole faith thing was so brand new to me. Then I went to college, and I kind of had one foot in and one foot out, and I started to date a guy that was not good for me. And I came home from college and I met the Bible study leader for lunch. He would check in with me about once a month just to see how I was doing. And I talked a little bit about that relationship. And he said, "Susie, you have more potential in your pinky than I do in my whole body, but I'm not wasting my time with you if you're going to waste your time with him. It's him or me." And I said, "You." And I knew it was time to prune that relationship out of my life. And it was a hard decision, but it was exactly the right decision. We're talking today about necessary endings. Henry Cloud, wrote this book. And I'm almost positive I talked with him about this book many years ago when it first came out. But we're doing what we call a book talk today. So I've invited my friend Shannon Velzer on the show. And she read this book some time ago. I read it some time ago. And then my hubby and I listened to the audio version several months ago. But I want to just read a little excerpt here before we dig in. Dr. Henry Cloud says this: without the ability to end things, people stay stuck, never becoming who they're meant to be, never accomplishing all that their talents and abilities should afford them. He says, you know, endings aren't a tragedy to be feared, but a necessary stage on the way to growth. So before we dig in, I want to ask you, because remember when you text in, it's sort of a love language for me. It helps me to know where you're at and just a little bit more about your story. Tell me about a time when you ended something that you knew you had to. Maybe it was you procrastinated, but it got to the point where you're like, this job is not working for me. Or you're filling a role in a ministry that you just, it had lost the luster and you knew you maybe overstayed past where the grace was. Tell me about a time that God just suddenly made it clear this chapter has come to a close. And what was that like for you to end it? And what came after that? Or maybe tell me about a time you didn't end it and in hindsight you wish you would have. You can text me 877-933-2484. We're going to talk about some of the reasons we avoid making some of these difficult decisions and pruning in our lives. And again, Dr. Henry Cloud's book is Necessary Endings, The Employees, Businesses, and Relationships That All of Us Have to Give Up in Order to Move Forward. If you're stuck, this might be the show for you, where just taking some inventory, am I right where God wants me to be? Or am I putting off a hard decision because I'm afraid of the repercussions? Before we get Shannon on, I just want to give a quick announcement, a shout out actually, to our Faith Radio donors and listeners and prayer partners. We can't do what we do without you. We're listener supported. That's why you don't hear commercials on Faith Radio. And we have so many faithful friends who just faithfully sow seeds so that we can keep growing and going and reaching people. Do you know that in addition to our radio show, our podcast audience is in about 100 different countries? That's because of friends like you who've sown seeds and said, "Count me in. I'm stepping into a story that's bigger than my own." So all I want to say is thank you. And this morning in our staff meeting, I prayed for you. I prayed for your health, for your relationships, for the work of your hands. I pray that God starts to show you His provision in surprising ways that you did not see coming, because you can't outgive God. And as you've sown and been so faithful in your generosity, I pray that you'd experience the amazing generosity of God. So that's my announcement. Thank you. That's my announcement. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Shannon Velzer and her husband John pastor North Star Community Church, a church they planted 9 years ago in Coon Rapids, Minnesota. They've enjoyed front row seats to watching the miraculous hand of God move in and through the local church. They have two adventure-seeking boys, Aiden and Asher, who keep their parents on their toes and their mom on her knees in prayer. Shannon has joined us several times on the show for our Intercessors Insights show, so you may recognize her voice. But Shannon, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Susie. So excited to be here.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this conversation. And before we get into that, though, I'm wondering, just in your time with the Lord, what have you been talking about these days?
You know, I have been spending quite a bit of time in the book of Isaiah. It's one of my favorites. And one of the scriptures that I've actually shared this on your show before, but I feel like this is just a now word for us as believers and for us as church leaders. And it's in Isaiah, and it's in chapter 58. And I'll just give a short snippet of it. I like that whole chapter. But in verse 11, it says, "The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail." And this is verse 12, the part that just keeps speaking to my heart. "Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. Mm-hmm. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings." And I just feel that that speaks to the hope that the local church, the Church of Jesus Christ, the global church, that we can bring at a time right now where it's so needed. We need to repair the broken walls and bring the unity. And I think it's just such a special time for the church, and it's an exciting time. I think there's going to be a lot of innovative things that God's going to do in and through his people. And so that just, every time I read that, it just encourages me that although there might be some brokenness around us, it's actually in the brokenness that God uses his people the most.
Boy, amen. Somebody got to text me an amen. Amen, amen. That's so good. Well, what are you grateful for these days?
Oh, so Susie, I'm just so grateful. I've just been really enjoying my family more than ever in this season. My kids are getting older, but they still enjoy, I don't want to embarrass them actually by admitting this publicly, but they still like to hang out with us and spend a lot of time. I just so appreciate, they're getting busier, but I'm so appreciating now that the weather's a little colder. They're not outside constantly, so they're in with us a little bit more. And we've been doing some movie nights and doing some baking already for Christmas, which is a little early, but they're enjoying it. So I've just been enjoying time with my kids and my husband.
Beautiful. That's so great. Well, tell me about when you first read Necessary Endings. Were you sensing an ending coming or a shift for you? Or were you just interested in the topic or aware of what you were seeing in the flock that you lead? What inspired you to read the book?
Originally, what inspired me was I felt like every pastor I talked to referenced the book in a conversation. Mm. And then I heard them, you know, referencing it even for helping their church, people in their churches through difficult endings, relationships, transitions. I heard a lot of leaders talk about it when it comes to staff, things like their own staff that might be transitioning, or even people transitioning in their lives. And so I kept hearing it being referenced. And he wrote the book Boundaries, which I honestly would think it's probably one of the most recommended book that I hear pastors recommend to people that are, especially people who have found the Lord and are finding freedom and change in their life, and they don't quite know, the people around them don't quite know what to do with those changes. So it's a really healthy book for people that are just seeking healthy boundaries with their family, with their friends. And so I figured if Boundaries was so impactful for me, I should read Necessary Endings. And it was incredibly helpful.
It is really such a niche book. I've never seen a book quite like it. And it really causes you to take inventory, Shannon, of the ways that we sort of live, underwhelmed, the times that we put up with things for so long. And, I remember years ago, I wrote a little bit about burnout and how when the grace lifts from something where God is saying, I've moved on, I want you to move with me, but we stay because of fear of man. We don't want people to get mad or comfort, or we love our status or whatever. There's a point when God has lifted the grace and we overstay our welcome, I've noticed that people, the longer they stay in a place that God's not appointed, the deeper the burnout and the longer it takes to recover. What about you?
I would absolutely agree. And I think that actually happens a lot in Christian communities, because there can sometimes, I feel like there can be guilt and shame. Sometimes we feel obligated to things that God hasn't obligated us to. And so we can be long suffering, but it's not necessarily in a healthy or a productive or helpful way. I've even counseled people who, maybe God has called them out of our church, or church members that don't go to our church and they're feeling guilty even transitioning out of a church. And I've said, you know what, if it's the Lord, then if the grace is lifted where you are, you might not be as helpful as you think you are there. It might not be as much of a blessing. And I don't mean that in any kind of a negative way. It's just when, like you said, and I use the same phrase, when the grace has lifted, the grace is lifted for something. And so either God will renew our grace, because sometimes, you know, things are just challenging, and that doesn't mean the grace is lifted. But there are other times where it's very clear and people know, okay, there's a transition coming, there's a shift coming, yeah, or a choice I need to make in my life, but they just avoid it because of feelings of guilt or shame or just hesitancy about change.
Yeah. And it really, if you really dig deep, it really becomes, you know, about, do we really trust God? Because one thing I've said for years is God's will for me won't contradict his will for you. So you make such a good point. If the Lord is leading somebody out into a different flock, there's a way to leave well and to honor your leadership. And you want to do everybody a favor. Don't stay till you're so bitter and, you know, jaded that then you leave, because you're taking the toxicity with you and leaving some there as well. But when you get a sense, you know, I remember Francis Fangerpaint, I reference him a lot, because he's just so shaped my thinking in my early years. But he talked about leaving well from a church. If you get a sense and you sit down with the pastors and say, I want to honor your leadership, this is what I sense God taking me. And he says, in an ideal situation, the pastor then would call the pastor where you're going and saying, we are sending him. You know, they've been with us. They left well. They are full of honor. Mm-hmm. And they're feeling called. We just bless you. And we, you know, I just think, man, if we could see that happen more often, how powerful would that be?
Absolutely. And you know what? There's nothing greater as a pastor than to be able to have that kind of a conversation and to watch them walk into their next season of blessing. We've had couples that have physically moved, or you know what? Their kids have friends in another church, and so they just felt called to move. And when they did it the right way, it was just beautiful to be able to still be a part of their journey, but just in a different way. And the fun part has been being able to, because pastors, we are connected to one another, and being able to go, hey, you know, so-and-so, we have somebody transitioning over, and they are wonderful. Here's what they're gifted in. Here's what they're good at. We'd love to see, you know, you kind of help them with the transition. And the people who have done it that way have walked into just beautiful, like, immediate kind of influence in their new place. In their new church, and just relational connections. So yeah, that in a perfect world, that would be the healthy way to do it. And people do that. And I do watch the favor of God kind of follow them from one season to the next.
And isn't that powerful? The favor of God follows them. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk about, how do you know the difference between a hard time that doesn't mean God is saying, okay, you're done. And a lot of times when it's a hard time and all you want is relief, you may preempt a move that God's not asking. Or a time when truly your season has ended. How do you discern the difference between those two? Dr. Cloud's first chapter is titled, The Good Cannot Begin Until the Bad Ends. And so if you feel like you've just got this soul fatigue, you've lost your expectancy, you might be in a role that God is saying, you know what, you've done everything you could here, but now I've got a new season for you. And one thing Dr. Cloud says is when you start to take inventory and rightly diagnose and discern what's going on in your life, that despair can actually lead to a doorway of hope. And that should encourage you. Talking to my friend Shannon Velzer. It's a book talk show. We're going to do these every once in a while. Just bring a friend in. Talk about a book we loved. We both loved Necessary Endings by Dr. Henry Cloud. And I see a number of people who've texted in. I'll read those on the other side. Don't go away. More great conversation in a moment. So do you listen to Susie Larson Live often? I sure hope you do. And if you do, I could use your help. Consider becoming a Faith Radio ambassador today and get the word out, not only about my show, but all the other great shows that we air on Faith Radio. You'll get everything you need to share the good news. You can sign up on our website at myfaithradio.com. When I feel my heart about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the waters come and the earth give way. I'll be dancing in the rain. Hope you're having a fantastic day. I'm Susie Larson on Susie Larson Live, talking to my friend Shannon Velzer. And if you recognize her voice, she's been on the show a few times in the past when we've done Intercessor Insights. But every once in a while, I want to do something we call Book Talk, where I bring a friend on and we process through a book that we both liked. And I'm almost positive I talked to Dr. Henry Cloud about this book many years ago. It's an older book titled Necessary Endings, The Employees, Businesses, and Relationships That All of Us Have to Give Up in Order to Move Forward. And I've asked you to text in about maybe a courageous this change that you made, sensing God was saying, this time here, this season has passed, and it's time to move on? And or time maybe you didn't do that, and what the implications were. Cheryl writes in, I recently rejoined a group of women with whom I'd met in the past. I used to meet with them in the past. Something began to feel off. I realized my time with them had ended. I was the one wanting to hang on. I believe God wants me to grow and not stay stagnant. I also felt my staying might hinder a particular person in the group, as she seemed bothered by my presence, so she stepped away. And Mary says this, I had to end a relationship with a guy. He struggled with porn. I later found out he'd done some appropriate things to my daughter. I regret having him meet her so early in the relationship. Well, thank you for sharing that. Shannon, let's talk if we can about that first chapter is titled, The Good Cannot Begin Until the Bad Ends. And one of the questions came in, how do you discern, how do you know if the grace is lifted? How do you discern the difference between this is hard or this time has ended?
Yeah, I think it depends on, you know, I love Dr. Henry Cloud. He talks about different scenarios, whether it be relationships or in business. And so I'll take it from a relationship standpoint because it can be different in different scenarios. But I think that we have to be able to look at the past if it's in a relationship and we're wondering, is this a relationship that we need to keep in our life? Sometimes we have to look at past behaviors as a guide for future behaviors. And at the same time, we believe in the God of the second chances. So, so we also have to be able to forgive and move forward. And so that's kind of, I think, as a believer, the hard position to be in is to go, okay, they made a mistake. I've forgiven them, but what do I do moving forward? And so one of the things we can look at is the consistency of a past behavior. Another thing that I think, is really important. I don't know if it's in the book or not, but are they repentant if it's become a toxic or a difficult relationship? Because people do struggle. They go through hard seasons. Some people go through times of depression or things that they're walking through. And so on the other side of that, it's like, how long do I remain in this relationship? How long do I stay in this if it's getting heavy or difficult to be in? And so looking at one, their pattern of behavior, are they willing to recognize weaknesses in their life? Are they working towards change? Because perfection is not possible, but growth is. And then two, if they've really violated our trust, if they're not willing to take ownership and to recognize the faults that they have in the situation, then that to me is kind of okay, we forgive, but we move on. Because if somebody isn't repentant, I don't know how you build off of that, you know? Mm-hmm. And Dr. Cloud actually talks about a couple of things that he feels are important variables that help us to discover if somebody deserves our trust or not. And the first one is to consider their makeup, which is, I love the example he gave. It depends what we're looking for in the relationship, right? So he talks about how he would trust Jim Carrey for a laugh and Jack Nicklaus for a great putt, but not Jim Carrey for a great putt. And so I sometimes think, and I've shared this before, when I was getting married to my husband, great pastor's wife, Shirley Denius, who has recently passed, shared with me, I said, Shirley, you've been married decades, and what is your one piece of marriage advice? And she said, Shannon, your husband can only be your husband. He can't be your God. He can't be your girlfriend. He can't be your mother. He can't be your best friend. He is only your husband. And as long as you understand that and you give him the appropriate expectations for that role, you'll be happy. But so one of the things is, what are we expecting to get out of the relationship, right? Because sometimes our expectations are wrong, and maybe we're expecting our best friend to be our God in a sense, you know, and that's not something they're capable of doing. Another thing is to consider their character. Do they gossip about other people to you? Because if they gossip to you, they'll gossip about you.
That's right.
Do they weaponize other people's vulnerabilities? Have they shared other people's discretions with, or not discretions, but, you know, the things that people have shared in privacy with them, gossip again, I guess, but weaponizing that vulnerability of other relationships, because again, that's something that I would hear and then be very careful with. Yep. Can they take ownership for mistakes? So those are some things to kind of look at, both past behavior, current behavior, and what our expectations are and if they're realistic.
Yeah, amen. You know, looking at it from an organizational standpoint, so you're talking about, you know, individual relationships where you know, is a relationship toxic? Is there established trust? One of the stories Dr. Cloud tells in the book, and I think he might open with it if I remember right, but it was a high-level executive who's been very successful. And if I think I remember, he stepped into a company to turn it around, but he had the gifting to do that. He'd proven himself, and he'd done everything he could. And he realized one day he pulled up to work, he didn't want to go inside. And every other day, he was like ready to win it and kill it and all that stuff. And he understood, he's like, something's off with me. So he drove to the park and he just sat for some reflection and realized that this, you know, he'd given it ample amount of time. He put all of his, you know, all of his faculties, all of his giftings and insights and applied them. But where he stood, he had to admit that the culture, the work culture, the world had changed, but this particular company did not want to change with it. And so even though he tried everything he could and tried to remedy, the company was refusing to move into the next century. And he had to really look at that, go, okay, I either have to, in that situation, one of the key positions was the family members, like the owner's son or something, but he was totally an obstacle. So he's like, I have to go to the board and either make some hard choices to say some of these people need to be let go. It's like either a family or business, you've got to decide, but we can't run a business, you know, in this kind of setting. All that to say, I felt like that was such a good example because as soon as he started to face the facts and face the truth about, I've done everything I know to make these changes, and none of it, you know, it was just time to make some hard decisions. Then expectancy came and the energy came back up. He realized his energy had waned so much prior to that. So to go back to the question, how do you know if the grace is lifted? I think the difference is if you've gotten jaded, if you've never address things, you've not worked to be part of the solution, you're just getting an attitude and you're yourself are getting gossipy in your own heart and you've just convinced yourself this is a miserable situation. It's more about attitude adjustment and really blooming where you're planted. Like my pastor friend used to say, you're not free to go till you're free to stay. But if you're in an organization or a role where you've done everything to walk in high integrity, hoping you can be part of the change, hoping you can be solutions to the problems, and you're doing everything you know you can, and nothing is changing, and there's no hope or promise that things will change because systems are so rock solid and not a lot of humility or teachability, well, then, you know, this might be, I might have gone as far as I can. We just got about a minute and a half left, but I'd love for you to comment on that.
Oh, yeah, I think that's 100% right. I think that, you know, there are definitely seasons. And when it comes to organizations, I think sometimes, yeah, especially in Christian organizations, it can be really hard for us to be able to be honest about, hey, this might be a great fit, but it's, we always say there's a seat for you on the bus. It just might not be that seat. And so I think when it comes to the impact that people can have on a culture or of a workplace, that if you're feeling like either you don't fit the culture or on the other side, they're not fitting the culture, they say that actually in human resources, which is what my undergrad is in, they say it will actually take 6 to 9 months before somebody will recognize, I can't do this anymore. So the human body can only, like our psyche and our person can only tolerate a non-fit in a place for so long before we have to remove ourselves or we'll be removed. So yeah. I think that's definitely a great example.
Yeah. So in other words, the ending will come one way or the other. I remember I have a friend who is a high-level exec. He was asked to sit on a ministry board, but they were so unorganized. They kept changing meeting times, not communicating. And he finally said, in every other part of my life, I don't function like this. I love you people, but my heart can't handle this. I cannot. Yeah. It's not good for my spirit. I'm going to stay friends with you. I cannot serve in this capacity. And he pruned. And so when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about how do you know what to prune, when to prune. Talking to Shannon Velzer about Dr. Henry Cloud's book, Necessary Endings. We'll be back in a minute. Oh, hope you're having a really great day. Susie Larson here on Susie Larson Live. My friend Shannon Velzer joins me for Book Talk. We've done one of these already. We hope to do a few more in the future, just pulling a friend to the table and talking about a book that made an impact on us. And today we're talking about Dr. Henry Cloud's book, Necessary Endings. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's really a classic. Subtitle, The Employees, Businesses, and Relationships That All of Us Have to Give Up in Order to Move Forward. And he makes a really strong and important point, saying, I'm not asking you to ditch relationships that aren't fitting into your perfect picture. Quite the opposite. I'm asking you to work through those things. But there is a process by which we take inventory to say, is God moving us on from this role, this job, this organization? Has my season here ended? And is God getting me ready for a new season? And why am I apt to procrastinate and fearing man's opinion over God's promise to redeem these things? So, Shannon, first of all, I got a tough question that came in. I want to see if we can address it. This gal says, I won't give her name, but she says, does ending apply to marriages that don't seem to be redeemable? What say you?
Oh, that's such a tough one, and it hurts my heart to hear. And you know what, as pastors, we've walked with some people through these scenarios, and it's always tough. And I think that, you know, there's no broad strokes in the answer to that question, but there are some things that we can ask and some questions that we can consider. And I think, and you know, every situation is so different. Whenever my husband or I do anything in regards to marriage and talking about marriage at our church, we have always prefaced, because we've ministered to abused women in our congregation, physically abused, even sexually abused women. And so we always say, you know, some of the marriage content that we're going to give, these answers do not apply if you are in abusive situations, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's contextually, the context really matters. But first, do I believe that anything can ever be, do I believe that a marriage, any situation can be redeemed by God? 100%. I 100% believe that. And we have witnessed God turn around marriages. And you know what? My husband and I went through hard seasons where if we weren't believers in Christ, I don't know what would have happened. I don't know how we could have walked through on our own. And God has redeemed things that were really hard in seasons for us that, to be honest, when you're in the middle of them, they feel hopeless. They seem hopeless. You go, oh my goodness, I'm speaking like a different language and they're not understanding. And so there are seasons we go through in any marriage that can be really challenging. And so I think you have to determine, is this a season or is this almost a sentence? And the idea that, you know, some of the questions we need to ask are, one, if there's been biblical boundaries that are crossed biblical boundaries that have been crossed where, you know what, it's okay for you to move out of the marriage and to move on. Before you even ask that question, is there any chance that the other person wants to work it out? Is there repentance, like I talked about before? Is there a desire to move forward? Because I do believe if you have two people willing to lean on God and work through it, He can do a miracle in any situation, but it does require two willing people to see change. And so, I don't know that that's a very clear answer, Susie.
I thought it was great. I think it's great. You know, we too have been really honest. Kevin and I did a show actually on the low point of our marriage many, many years ago. And I will tell you, it is possible to look at your spouse, to be in a bad season, look at your spouse and feel nothing but contempt and for God to redeem it beyond your wildest dreams. So I do think it's so important to be careful about biblical, you know, a precedent for when you have a biblical reason, because there's so many people cashing in when it's hard. I didn't sign up for this. Well, you did. Because seasons in marriage can be devastating, but that's what makes the glory so much greater. And when I've had Greg Smalley on plenty of times, he's talked about there's just stats, even apart outside of the faith community, when you're walking through a hard time in marriage, and the stats showed even if you endure and you don't do one thing to rebuild your marriage and you come through it, you still fare better than those who keep quitting when it's hard. So he said, not to mention when you pour into your marriage, even if you're the only person, but if you don't have a biblical precedent and you're not in an abusive situation, fast and pray and go after God and say, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. And I'm telling you, one person appealing to God can make all the difference in the world.
Absolutely. That's why I'm so careful with that question, because, it depends on the context so much. But I agree with you, Susie, in the sense that, man, there were times, especially when my husband and I were first married, I just thought, what are we going to do? We cannot figure this out. And we're both very strong-willed people. And so it was like, who is going to win?
And God won.
I just remember as a young married person sitting in our pastor's office, and I actually asked him the question, and I joke about it now, so I'll say it on air, but I said, so what do we do if we chose the wrong one and there's no biblical reason to separate? And he just laughed because he understood. Like, I really felt that way. I was so frustrated that we were just, and they weren't huge things, but they were very frustrating things. And so it forced us to really start to seek mentoring, counseling, and help. And I treasure my marriage more than anything else. And I have such a healthy marriage, but it did not come easily. It did not come quickly. And it did not come without a ton of prayer and a ton of work. And the work has to keep going on, right? It doesn't ever just stop. So.
Amen. Oh, wow. This is what Henry Cloud writes. Necessary endings by their very nature are real and relevant, and when implemented can bring incredible results. When needed, endings are done well. People succeed. When they're done poorly or not at all, people don't. Life has seasons, stages, and phases. For there to be anything new, old things always have to end, and we have to let go of them. I can't believe how fast this time is going. I want to talk, if we can, for a moment about when a necessary ending happens to you, but it's not something you chose. Like this listener said, 3 years ago, life as I knew it came to an abrupt end. I did not see it coming. Lost her job as a nurse of 45 years and her ministry of cooking for church events due to repeated health issues. She sank into a depression, could not see how God could still use her, and she grieved as she so wanted to serve him. She said, I never got her strength back, but God is good. I'm now much closer to him. I have a card ministry, time to be available for people, pray, to be in the word. God is using me more now. God told me this is my season to be with him. God is so good. And, you know, that I think that is also, there are times where people go, like Kev, I will tell you, he was a former workaholic, and I don't believe for a minute God gave him cancer, but he says cancer was like a necessary ending for him to that kind of a lifestyle where he said, I would never wish it on anybody. I don't want to go through it again, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. Sometimes endings are thrust upon us, but if we trust God, we can see him redeeming those things.
Yeah, I always joke, I like the endings I choose.
Yeah.
I like those endings. Those are great endings. I chose it. I have a plan. I know where we're going. And so when you have vision in front of you, then it's not an ending, it's a transition. But what is it to be on the other side? Well, on the other side, it can often, first, it can tie into some of our own insecurities deeply. I know when those things have been thrust upon me, it can tie into my past traumas. It can tie into my struggles with insecurity or feeling rejected or feeling abandoned. And so how do we handle that? That's such a great question, because it's one thing for you to choose the ending, and it's another thing to be on the other side of the ending. And I love what Dr. Cloud says in his book. He says in chapter 12, to embrace the grief, the importance of metabolizing necessary endings. And he just talks about the grieving process and allowing the grieving process to happen. Go into the grieving process, both mentally and emotionally, so that you can let go. And when you allow yourself to grieve fully, it actually helps you not to remain, he says, tethered to it in some way later. And so I think a lot of times we try to just like, you know, soldier through, and we don't feel the feelings that come with those things. But it sounds like your listener actually did a really great job of recognizing the loss that she experienced in her work, in her the things she was able to do in her church. And to recognize that and to experience it. And then after she grieved those things, she was then able to go into the new fully without the trauma of the past losses carrying into her future. So I really think we need to allow ourselves to grieve when we have an ending that we weren't planning for, because they are hard. Even if they're good for us, they're hard when we don't see them coming or when we didn't choose them. And so it's okay to grieve. It's actually healthy to grieve and to feel the emotions that go with that so that you can keep moving forward in the end.
That's so good. Just pivoting a little bit on the topic, my boys are grown and they're married now, but I remember when they were in their dating years, and I was just trying to help them learn to discern how to be matched with someone, the person they're wanting to date to possibly marry. And I said, you know, all three of these guys, I said, you guys are all just so long-suffering, just like your dad. And that's a gift from God, because love is patient, love is kind, and they're that way. But I said, this is how you know if you're misusing that virtue and that gift that God has imparted to you, is if that person is just using up those resources to the point where it's depleting you, but they're not changing. They're not being transformed into Christ-likeness. Mm-hmm. But someone who truly needs that patience, you know, someone who totally needs the kindness, maybe there is a trauma or there's mental health issues where there's anxiety, mm-hmm. and your patience is the healing balm that she needs. Pay attention to how your virtue is being spent in her life. And if it's bearing fruit, then you know, because it's like, again, God's will for you won't contradict his will for her. And it'll make you more like Christ too. And I feel like as I'm looking at what Claude says here, he says, if you're doing something that's using your resources in a way that's depleting you or damaging you, you just can't keep going. The reason? Right. You're not just getting tired. Your resources are getting depleted. You or your resources will be cannibalized, and in short, you'll run out. And I think that's another way, don't you think, to discern, Shannon, if are the virtues and the gifts and the passions God given me, are they just sort of falling on the ground and being used up without any kind of life kind of, you know, when you refresh others, you yourself are refreshed. You know what I'm saying? Maybe speak to that if you would.
Oh, I love that he talks about that in this book. One of the roles that I've had both in business and in our church has been to really help identify, we know them as spiritual giftings, and the business world might call them strength finders. I mean, all of those assessments where we can figure out what are people gifted in, what gives them life, what gives them energy. And I feel like I have this conversation more than I would expect to, that people feeling guilty or badly that they can't perform or a function or a task in an area that they're just not gifted or good at, and they keep giving of themselves and trying to do something. And it's like, you know what, you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole, and it depletes people when they do that. And rather than just saying, I'd love to be a nursery worker because that's what you need, but every time I serve in the nursery, it exhausts me. It's not my thing. But, you know, if you need someone to work in the tech booth, that gives me life. I mean, in the church world, we have examples of people doing things out of obligation or, you know, just wanting to serve, which is a great thing. But if they're not in their areas of giftedness, they're going to burn out. And I think that's a small example because that's 1 hour or 2 hours a week. But now if we take that into our everyday life and we're giving in a way that we're not built to, it's not the shape that God has given us that doesn't, you know, we talk about that in our growth track, or my husband actually just preached about your shape, and it's what do you have passions for? What are you gifted in? And being able to recognize that and then go, okay, I'm going to focus my energy over here, and I might need to put an end to some of these commitments I've made because I'm not growing stronger through them. I'm actually being depleted, and just giving ourselves permission to stay in our strong spots. I think there's a lot of people who do things out of guilt or obligation, and it's not healthy for them. And it actually takes our energy away from the things that should get most of our energy.
Such an interesting distinction, because in a healthy atmosphere, they would want to help you move from that seat of the bus to the other seat. We're saying, okay, let's work together because we want you to put you in your sweet spot. And then I'm thinking of another scenario where maybe you're serving in your area of giftedness, but you're in an institution that's super mm-hmm. dysfunctional. So they're chewing you up and spitting you out. And there are plenty of those where, you know, workplaces, even ministries, where they're poorly led. And so you might be, let's say you're a tech genius, but you're getting just sucked dry because there's no affirmation, no value for you as a person. And that's another way for you to know this is not sustainable. And this isn't like I'm leaving because this is hard. It's like I'm looking ahead, and their history of how they manage people and the wake of people that they've gone through, I see that in my future. This is not for me. And I think that can be a real revelation that can bring joy if you can preempt that decision before you're another casualty of the system, you know?
100%, Susie. If people are ever operating culturally in their leadership through guilt and shame, that to me is like a clear indicator, like, nope, that's not a culture I can be a part of. And I can handle not being affirmed for what I bring for a season, but I can't do it for a long time because I'm a words of affirmation person. But I certainly, if there's a toxic kind of culture or leadership that's trying to guilt or push me into doing things, and I've been a part of things before that that was the leadership mode. It wasn't any church, but it was, you know, just different organizations where the leaders didn't really know how to lead in a healthy way. And that does have an expiration date to it. The one takeaway I have taken from those experiences when I've had them is that it just reminds me and my influence with the people around us to make sure that I don't repeat that behavior, because it is easy for us to ignore and not affirm the value that the people around us bring. And so whenever I've had that experience, it just reminds me to be as affirming as I can. I start thanking everyone around me more than normal, because it just, when you see that or you feel that, it feels so bad. And so that's the one positive it brings to me, is it helps me be affirming to the people who are adding value into my life and remind them how much value they bring, because to be on the opposite of that side, it's depleting, it's exhausting, yes, it's discouraging, and it can actually give people a lot of insecurity of their value and if they're doing enough or if they're doing it right. So,
and if we're going to pause here for a break. Amen. I'm going to pause here for a break. But if you're new in the faith and you have that kind of experience, then sometimes that's enough to push someone out where they're like, I've tried church, it doesn't work. So this is why good leadership and good boundaries are so important. When we come back, we just got about not even 10 minutes left. We're going to tackle in chapter 7. Your husband, Pastor John, did a sermon on this one. Listen to the title of this chapter, The Wise, the Fool, and the Evil, Identifying Which Kinds of People that Deserve Your Trust. We're walking our way through Necessary Endings by Dr. Henry Cloud. Shannon Velzer is my guest today. Great conversation. More with Shannon in a moment. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. Because you never lost a battle. No, you never lost a battle. And I know you never will. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, doing a book talk show today where I just pull a friend in. We sit around the table. We talk about a book that we've loved. And Necessary Endings by Dr. Henry Cloud is one. It's an older one, but it is a classic. And I just thought it was important to have this conversation today, because I just get a sense, you've heard me say this several times on the show, God is moving people around like chess pieces. He's and there's some who are in a holding pattern where you get a sense change is coming. You just don't know what. It's like you're on a need-to-know basis. And when you need to know, he'll let you know. But he's moving people around. And sometimes we postpone making hard decisions because we're afraid of how people will react. We don't want to make a mistake. And then sometimes decisions are made for us. And if we're not rightly framing those losses and those endings, we won't see them as necessary. We may see them as an indictment on ourselves, when God wants us to reframe those disappointments to say, I'm leading you to a new place. Like this dear listener I love. She says, thank you for this show, Suzy. It's giving me grace to grieve career and personal losses and to allow Jesus to heal me and lead me into opportunities as I approach age 65. I'm excited now, not dreading the next decade or more, God willing. I love that. That's exactly what we were hoping would happen today. And Shannon, your hubby, Pastor John, did a sermon on the seventh chapter of Henry Cloud's book, Necessary Endings. Here's the title, and I'm just going to set you loose and say as much as you want, but the title is The Wise, the Fool, and the Evil, Identifying Which Kinds of People Deserve Your Trust. Say more about it.
Well, this was a great sermon when he did it. He got such great feedback, because it's something that everybody can relate to and at some level in their life. And when we look at the book of Proverbs, there's three people that it references quite a bit, and it's the wise person, the foolish person, and the evil person. And Proverbs tells us a lot about how to identify if the person we're dealing with is foolish, if they are evil, or if they are wise. And it says this in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 through 8. Anyone who corrects a fool What's the fruit of a fool? We'll get insults. We'll get an insult in return. So if we're talking to a fool and we're trying to correct them or help them and they insult us back, then we know, okay, we're dealing with a foolish person here. Anyone who corrects the evil will get hurt. And then it says, so don't bother correcting fools. They will only hate you, but correct the wise and they will love you. It says in Proverbs 26:4 as well, don't answer the foolish arguments of fools or you will become as foolish as they are. And so Dr. Cloud gives us three strategies for dealing with each type of person or strategies for dealing with each type of person. They're very simple, but they're so helpful because you know what? You can kind of easily put people into categories of the wise, the fool, or the evil as you're in relationship with them. And we're hoping that most of them are the wise, right? And we're praying that we are never the fool or the evil one. But when we're dealing with the wise, how do we deal with wise people? Well, we continue to invest our lives into them. They will love us for what we offer them. And so wise people, those are the ones we want to consult. Those are the ones we want in deep relationship. Are they willing to hear feedback? Are they willing to let iron sharpen iron in a relationship? Are they willing to take ownership if they've misstepped? Then those are all indicators. If you can say yes to those things, that you're dealing with a wise person and that it is worth your energy.
And I've got to pause here because, you know, John Townsend, who wrote Boundaries with Cloud, if I remember right, he's been on the show a bunch of times, and he's a major leader consultant for major organizations and corporations. Yeah. And there's been plenty of times where an organization had the funds to hire him, and they brought him in going, you got to help us. But after a careful inventory of the system and the beliefs, they weren't ready to be confronted. And he's like, nope, I'm not going to do it. Why? Why aren't you going to help us? Because you don't want the help. You know, you don't want to be changed. And so he's literally walked away from some of those opportunities going, I can't help you if you're not willing to change. So, you know, this not only can apply to individuals, but organizations. So, okay, keep going.
100%. Yeah, I actually know people who will only come in. I have a relationship with someone who was struggling to bring help in the very role they were hired to in an organization because the owner was not willing to make a change. And just every time they would give them feedback, they wouldn't change. They would have an excuse. And so finally, because they really valued the organization and the relationship they had with the owner of that clinic, they said, why don't you bring me in? I will only continue to work with you on a consulting basis. I cannot be your employee. I need to be able to come in and give you information, and whether you take it or not, the results are not on me because you're not giving way to any of the advice I'm giving you. And so I can't be responsible for results that you're refusing to take the ideas from me on. And so when they went in a consulting role, that person actually did start to make changes. They were very slow about it, but suddenly a change in the posture of the relationship, they were a little more open because the results weren't in the other person's hands. They were on the owner, and whether the owner changed or not was on them.
And then they took it upon themselves to not be under that, saying, my soul can't handle that. I don't need to put up with that. And so to, you know, they say you teach people how to treat you, but she or he are showing respect for themselves going, I'm not going to be in this system. You can decide what you want to do with it. Boy, that's so good.
Yeah, it was a dysfunctional circle of never-ending change problem, never-ending change, new problem, you know. And so she just said, I have to remove myself. I want to help you, but I have to reposition my relationship here. And it helped, but it still was pretty short-lived. But that is wisdom. The next person that we identify as the fool, and I love what the scripture says. It just says to stop talking. Stop talking to them. Like, and sometimes, you know what, you know as a person where if somebody, if there's spiritual sensitivity in you or wisdom in your life, you can discern if somebody is receiving the information or the feedback you're giving them. And you can also discern if they aren't. And so if somebody is just not willing to listen, the scripture says, stop talking. And it actually tells us if we keep talking, they will hate us for the help we're trying to offer. So stop trying. And I think so many, God bless them, Christian God-loving people, they're just still trying to help people who don't want to be helped, and they don't have any fruit of wanting to receive the help or the wisdom you're offering. So just stop, you know?
Okay. And let's go to evil because we got about 45 seconds left. Okay.
Well, Dr. Cloud says this is what takes money, guns, and lawyers, but guns as in police. As in police. But it says this is when you're dealing with an evil person, somebody who's truly seeking to destroy, whether it's a life or a family, maybe it's an organization, it could be a church, it could be a marriage. If there are some people that are functioning in major destruction, and so you then need to go into protection mode, protect yourself, your children, your family, your finances, your business, your organization. And Proverbs 9:7 says, anyone who corrects the evil will get hurt. And so that's very rare. I think that's extreme cases, but that is the exact advice he gives. And just Titus 3:10 says, if people are causing divisions among you, give a first and then a second warning. And after that, have nothing to do with them. So sometimes
Shannon,
we have to break ties.
This went so fast, and I'm so sorry. We're right up to the end. And friends, if you want to check out Necessary Endings, maybe a good way is to get it on Audible and listen to the book. It's fantastic. Hope you found some encouragement here, and we'll meet you back here next time. Shannon, thank you so much. You're always a great guest. We sure love and appreciate you all, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.